Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, February 22nd, and I am reading from the New International Version. Today we pick up in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9 and I'm reading verses 18 through 34. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over the region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." And now we move over to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 78, verses 21 through 55. But it kind of picks up at a weird point. Yesterday's reading left off with these words, "Can he supply meat for his people?" It was the people of Israel complaining against God, unbelieving hearts saying, "God can't supply meat in a desert." And do you remember that they just came through the Red Sea where God parted the seas? And yet they are doubting. And so that's where we pick up in the psalm today. When the Lord heard them, he was furious. His fire broke out against Jacob, and his wrath rose against Israel, for they did not believe in God or trust in his deliverance. Yet he gave a command to the skies above and opened the doors of the heavens. He rained down manna for the people to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven. Human beings ate the bread of angels. He sent them all the food they could eat. He let loose the east wind from the heavens, and by his power made the south wind blow. He rained meat down on them like dust, birds like sands on the seashore. He made them come down inside their camp, all around their tents. They ate till they were gorged. He had given them what they craved. But before they turned from what they craved, even while the food was still in their mouths, God's anger rose against them. He put to death the sturdiest among them, cutting down the young men of Israel. In spite of all this, they kept on sinning. In spite of his wonders, they did not believe. So he ended their days in futility and their years in terror. Whenever God slew them, they would seek him. They eagerly turned to him again. They remembered that God was their rock, that God Most High was their Redeemer. But then they would flatter him with their mouths, lying to him with their tongues. Their hearts were not loyal to him. They were not faithful to his covenant. Yet he was merciful. He forgave their iniquities and did not destroy them. Time after time, he restrained his anger and did not stir up his full wrath. He remembered that they are but flesh, a passing breeze that does not return. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the wasteland. Again and again, they put God to the test. They vexed the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power. The day he redeemed them from the oppressor, the day he displayed his signs in Egypt, his wonders in the region of Zoan, he turned their river into blood. They could not drink from their streams. He sent swarms of flies that devoured them and frogs that devastated them. He gave their crops to the grasshopper, their produce to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore figs with sleet. He gave over their cattle to the hail, their livestock to bolts of lightning. He unleashed against them his hot anger, his wrath, indignation, and hostility, a band of destroying angels. He prepared a path for his anger. He did not spare them from death, but gave them over to the plague. He struck down all the firstborn of Egypt, the firstfruits of manhood in the tents of Ham, but he brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness. He guided them safely so they were unafraid, but the sea engulfed their enemies. And so he brought them to the border of his holy land, to the hill country his right hand had taken. He drove out nations before them and allotted their lands to them as an inheritance. He settled the tribes of Israel in their homes. And now we move over to the book of Song of Songs. We are entering into a new book today. And as we enter into new books, I always recommend that you go to the Bible Project website or search on YouTube for Bible Project and the book title, so Song of Songs, and it gives you a 6 or 7 minute video that explains the context of the book of Song of Songs. This is a book of 8 chapters of love poetry. It does have an introduction and a conclusion, but there is no rigid literary design. It's kind of a flowing whole of poems between a woman and a man about love. Now, there are 3 main traditions for the interpretation of this book. The first one is in the Jewish tradition. It is allegory. So the woman would be Israel, and the man would be God, and the love would be a symbol of the covenant. And then there is a Christian allegory tradition as well, where people believe that this is an image between Christ and his people. So as in Ephesians 5, where Paul says that husbands should love their wives as Christ loves the church, some people believe that the Song of Songs kind of emulates that, the love between Christ and the church. And then the third tradition is that this is just a compilation of love poetry from the time when it was written in the time of Solomon, and that this is just an arrangement of this love poetry. But there is a key feature, according to the Bible Project video, there's a key feature that continues to arise, and it is this garden imagery, the idea that the man and the woman were naked and vulnerable in the garden, and yet they were untainted by sin and totally able to love one another. And so the theme of love as a transcendent gift from God is meant to point us to the ultimate love that we do find in God. I tend to go with the third tradition. I think it's just a compilation of love poetry, but I would encourage you to think for yourself and let me know what you believe Song of Songs is meant to be for us. And so with that, we will read together Song of Songs, chapter 1. And as I read, I'm going to read the headings that go with each section so that we kind of know who's talking. It may say she, and that would mean that a woman is talking, and it may say friends, and that's kind of like the chorus, and then he would be the man talking. Solomon's Song of Songs. She. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the young women love you. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chambers. Friends, we rejoice and delight in you. We will praise your love more than wine. She. How right they are to adore you. Dark am I, yet lovely. Daughters of Jerusalem, dark like the tents of Kedar, like the tent curtains of Solomon. Do not stare at me because I am dark, because I am darkened by the sun. My mother's sons were angry with me and made me take care of the vineyards. My own vineyard I had to neglect. Tell me, you whom I love, where you graze your flock and where you rest your sheep at midday. Why should I be like a veiled woman beside the flocks of your friends? Friends. If you do not know, most beautiful of women, follow the tracks of the sheep and graze your young goats by the tents of the shepherds. He. I liken you, my darling, to a mare among Pharaoh's chariot horses. Your cheeks are beautiful with earrings, your neck with strings of jewels. We will make you earrings of gold studded with silver. She. While the king was at his table, my perfume spread its fragrance. My beloved is to me a sachet of myrrh resting between my breasts. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blossoms from the vineyards of En-Gedi. He. How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes are doves. She. How handsome you are, my beloved. Oh, how charming. And our bed is verdant. He. The beams of our house are cedars. Our rafters are firs. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. As you may remember, today is Missions Monday, and so each Monday we will take a ministry that we partner with and pray for them. And today we are praying for Living Hope, which is a ministry in Cape Town, South Africa. And several times our youth have gone to be on mission with Living Hope. And here are some of their prayers. In January, one of their nursing sisters passed away after battling COVID. And so we just want to pray for their staff members and for her family and her husband, Joseph, as they grieve. We also want to pray for continued opportunities for ministry for their educators. Because of COVID, Living Hope isn't able to have their after-school program, and so these educators are doing home visits. We also want to pray for Living Hope as they minister to victims of a massive fire that happened in December that destroyed 1,000 structures and affected over 6,000 people. So would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your living word and the living hope that it brings for us and for the people of the entire world. In these moments, we want to fix our attention on our partners in ministry, Living Hope International, and we pray, Lord, for them and for their ministry in Cape Town, South Africa. We pray, Lord, for the family of this nurse who passed away after battling COVID, for her husband and for their kids, and for everyone who has been impacted by this pandemic. Lord, we pray for relief. We pray for your kingdom to come and for this to be eradicated from our world. We also pray for continued opportunities for the life skills educators who are going into homes. Lord, continue the education of the kids as it relates to their studies, but also as it relates to you and their discipleship. We pray for Living Hope as they minister to victims of this massive fire. Father, sometimes it is difficult to think about when we have so much and others have so little. Continue to prick our hearts to help us to see ways that we are called to be on mission with you and giving of our resources for the good of others. We pray for those who have lost everything, and we pray, Lord, that they and we would put our hope in you and we would find our respite with you. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.